On FM, on DAB, and up to date on social media. We are Radio Newark. Radio Newark Sport. Brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants. For all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
Tonight, we recall the A to Z of Radio Newark Sport for 2018. One of us knows the subjects, one of us doesn't. What could possibly go wrong? What won't go wrong, of course, is Graham, because he joins us at 20 past and tells us all what Notfast have been up to. But first of all, these are your local headlines, and the national ones as well. And who says tennis is just a summer sport? Three Newark teams prove that it is not the case as they attempted to secure more points in their respective divisions. The mixed second team fell to a 61-47 defeat against East Bridgeford, while the ladies' first beat their local rivals Conyngham, and the men's first, they saw off the challenge of Sutton in Ashfield. Four Newark Striders were in 10k action at Bowls over at the weekend. Jan Bailey was first over the finishing line in 11th place, followed by Dave Dews, Peter Davis and Philippa Clark. Tony, you'll love this one. Roof Mount Stevens went to Doncaster for a 10k race and it was called the Great Sprout Scuttle. Try saying that one quickly. The Great Sprout Scuttle. Liverpool boss Jurgen Klopp says he could not be proud of his team as Mohamed Salah's goal and Alisson's brilliant save late on earned them a place in the knockout stages of the Champions League. While Tottenham apparently achieved Mission Impossible by qualifying for the last 16 of the Champions League. That was according to their manager. According to me, they played Barcelona reserves and had to rely on other teams to get through. But, as Tony predicted, we have four teams in the last 16 of the Champions League, so it can't be bad, can it? Anthony Joshua's team are begging for a world heavyweight unification bout, says the WBC champion. What was his name? DeTony Wilder? I don't do boxing.
Deontay,
that's the one. The American 33 controversially drew with Britain's Tyson Fury in Los Angeles earlier this month. The WBC has since sanctioned a direct rematch after a unanimous agreement by the Board of Governors. And let's start with Mr. Smith, because he does like his boxing. And everybody, bar none, thinks that fight was an absolute travesty. So, should they fight again? Or should our great hope get into the ring with one of them?
Yes, they should fight again, and it should be at Old Trafford. Because if it's in Las Vegas, which Deontay's gang wants, then it's going to be another case that Fury will have to knock him out to get a draw again.
Well, it should be over here this time, shouldn't it? Surely.
Boxing is a great, great sport, but it all depends on where you are as to what chance you've got of getting a result, which is the tragedy of it, really. I mean, Tyson Fury is a very, very difficult bloke to understand. But, you know, he makes homophobic remarks, anti-Semitic remarks. He trash talks about women. And then he's walking along the road, meets a homeless man about the same size as him, takes off his own shoes, gives them to the homeless man and goes back to the hotel in his socks. So how can you not love a bloke like that? And he should have won that fight.
Four teams in the last 16, but you did say last night those were going to get through, but I didn't think you'd think it was going to be by the skin of the teeth.
I can't remember at the start of the competition who you said would win it, but
Real Madrid, I always do.
Real Madrid. You said that Liverpool might win it this time, didn't they, as well?
Well, they're the team from England that I think are best set for European Cup, even though they didn't nearly make a complete hash of it.
And I said that Manchester City would win. Now, I have turned down transport and a free ticket to see Manchester City against Hoffenheim this evening, to be here. So, I mean, that shows how much I love you.
And I forgot to bring the violin.
No, it's the... Didn't
that's only because you've got a lot of hard work to do.
No, this is basically... I said to I said to Danny Purvis, who gave me the very kind invite, I said, I can't let Mick down, you know, because I haven't got any guesses.
Because you've never heard the last of
it's
it.
Just me talking rubbish for 50 minutes just for a change. So I'm afraid I'm going to have to turn down the Man City ticket, but it would have been lovely.
It would. It would have been very nice. But you're here. That's the main thing. Mm. So we're going to do the A to Z of Radio Newark Sport.
I've been looking forward to this because I can't believe you can recite A to Z.
This is...
And I'm also looking forward to X.
I've written it down.
I've been buffing up about xylophones all night.
So, subjects that we've talked about throughout the year in our many, many shows, we're going to bring back. I'm going to name them, and I want you to make a comment on them, and we'll take it from there. So we haven't got time to mess about, because we've got 24 of them, I think, to...
It's 26, isn't it?
Is it? 26 of them.
See?
Let's put two more in there. I'm not counting them now. It's wasting time.
I'll give you a clue. It begins with A.
Yeah, we'll start with A.
Okay.
Right. So here you go. Are you ready?
There's more letters than James Cullingworth's had clubs.
No more waffling, because we've got about 10 to get through in just over 10 minutes.
Okay.
Right. A is for Agar.
Agar. Best teeth in football. He's just a fantastic lad. I mean, irrespective of the fact that he's scored 27 goals this season, he's just a fantastic lad. And he's just lovely to have around the dressing room. The first time I met him, I walked into the dressing room at Bilborough at the Harvey Haddon Stadium. He'd never met me before. I'd never met him. First thing he did was wink at me. Instant friendship. Lovely, lovely bloke. And probably the best footballer that I've seen outside of the Football League. Absolutely outstanding footballer.
And for the ones of you that's just joined us tonight, from Planet Zog is Flowserve's centre-forward, and the massive great debate that we're having, and we'll have again tomorrow night, is who was the best ever Flowserve centre-forward, and Sam Agar's short time so far at Flowserve, he's put himself in that little group with Gary Breeden and Mark Gore and George Bauer and Jerry Booth, and Sam Agar's already in that group, and Jerry fell, and he can only get better for the lad, and he is one of the world's nice guys, isn't he?
Well, I've only been in the town for a third of a century. I mean, you've been watching Flowserve under their various guises for
an awful lot longer than that.
A hell of a lot longer than me, and I've only heard about Sam's predecessors, but if there was a better one than Sam Agar, then hats off to the lad.
At the minute, in my world, yes. But we'll see. Right, B is for Berwick.
Berwick Rangers.
Why we talk about Berwick?
Myself and Lucy went up to Edinburgh for a long weekend. Went up first class because we booked it about 3 months in advance, so got it for £9 each. First class is fantastic. You can wiggle the seats backwards and forwards. They're amazing. And when we got to this little... Well, this big viaduct, it went across this river, and I looked to my right in the sunshine. It was a gorgeous place. And I said, wow, look at that. And it was this gorgeous seaside town. I said, where is that? And then we pulled into Berwick Station. And so, to cut a hell of a long story short...
I wish you would.
My dad died up in Bradford, and our planned two-week road trip around Scotland became 5 days house clearance in Bradford and 5 days in Berwick-on-Tweed, getting over it. And with the very last item that Lucy put into the skip in Bradford, she turned around and very badly twisted her ankle. So I managed to get her to Berwick... got her onto the bed, got a tea towel full of ice, wrapped it round her ankle, poured her a glass of wine, put her soaps on and said, there you go. And she said, well, I'm fine here. You get off and see what Berwick's like on a Friday night. And I thought, oh, terrific. And so I went across the road to the pub, and there's a poster above the wall, and it said, pre-season friendly at Shieldfield, Berwick Rangers versus Hamilton Academical, tonight 7:45. And so I got a taxi across the Tweed and went to Berwick Rangers. And I didn't buy a pint. I had 5 pints in the Black and Gold Club before the game. Where are you from, mate? You're not from round here. Treated like royalty, and then watched Berwick Rangers play Hamilton Academical, who'd just been relegated from the SPL. Hamilton were absolutely crap, and Berwick out-crapped them and lost 2-0.
And that's why we talk about Berwick every week.
And I love them.
C is for Collingham. A village with a very good football team and a very, very good cricket team.
Collingham have got the best cricket ground in... Collingham have got the one of the top three best cricket grounds in the world, outside of Trent Bridge and the SCG. Absolutely gorgeous, gorgeous cricket ground. And it's always a pleasure to drive past, never mind to go and spend an afternoon in the sun there. This last summer I was so privileged and honoured to umpire a cricket match there. And it was... they didn't have an umpire, Collingham Seconds, and so I ended up doing both ends. And it was one of the highlights of my summer, because it is just a cricket club that is very dear to my heart.
And a football club with your favourite Yorkshire manager?
Football club, you know, I mean, I'm fortunate enough during my advertiser days that Paul Hyde was there in his original incarnation as the Collingham manager. And I got the rough edge of his tongue a few times, but then again, I'd had a few in the bar beforehand, so... you know, probably deserved all I got, but, you know, he's a lovely, lovely man and a proper football manager.
D is for Devon. And with Devon...
Devon.
Adam Holland and Gary Edgington, two people who join us from Devon...
Yeah.
...on a regular basis.
Adam Holland is a remarkable individual. The first time he came into the studio, it was yes, no, yes, no... And then he became one of the funniest guys we've ever had in here. It developed into a natural raconteur, and delightfully took the mickey out of himself, which I think is the best character trait in somebody. The fact they can take the mickey out of themselves, self-deprecating, is my finest feature in an individual. And a very, very funny bloke, Gary Edgington... has forgotten more about cricket than I will ever know. And once he gets his Jacksons sorted out, he's a very reliable source of information.
And it's nice. Yeah, I'm with you now, yeah. It's nice that people like that take time out to join us.
Oh, yeah.
From that distance away.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's... I know that you prefer the... county over the border.
I prefer, it's just simply the better. Right, we've got to move on because E is for emotion.
Emotion, it's our middle names on here, isn't it? We do slapstick wonderfully, and we do you were at Kelham Road, four people away from somebody who was talking about the radio show, and obviously being on radio, people don't know your faces. And Blood didn't know you were there, and he said, I love those two guys on Radio Newark because they just bicker like an old married couple. And that's what we do. And when we do that, then we're at our best. As soon as it gets emotional, we're a mess. And one of the finest moments that this radio show has ever produced was only last Thursday at Kelham Road. And talking about emotional, I was on your shoulder as your wingman, and I thought, you know, any minute... he's going to wobble a bit about talking about Rick Lane, a great friend of ours. And you did. And I was ready to step in. And then you said down the microphone in front of a lot of people at the New Rugby Club, no, I'm going to get through this. And I just thought it was a tremendous effort. And I'm not just saying that because you sat here. But it was, you know, one of the bravest things I've ever seen. And more especially because Richard Lane was there. And I looked at his face when that plaque was unveiled, and that was one very, very proud dad.
Try and keep the next one down to less than 45 minutes. F is for Flow Serve.
Flow Serve, I was asked by Stephen Crawford to go to Flow Serve after we'd had a season with the RHP Saturday side. I was assistant manager to Biscuit, and basically he said, Flow Serve have asked us to go there and be their reserve side. And I said, I can't do that, Biscuit. I'm an RHP man. I bleed green and white. And he said, no, they really want us to go there. I've had 13 years at Worthington Simpson, said Biscuit. So I'd like you to come with me. And then I said, yeah, OK. And then I found out what was happening behind the scenes with the first team. And I said to Stephen Crawford, if I'm going to get involved with the club, I want to be involved at first team level. And there's an article in the Selston programme for December 29th, which basically ends with a line, "But now I'm orange and proud."
G is for Gordon Wellborn Week.
I've actually competed in that. I've got the T-shirt and everything. It's a great, great race. And it's also now the child of one of the great, great characters that comes on the show. And Rob Ogill is just... his jokes are rubbish. However he tries to cover it up, they're just not funny and they're rubbish. But the way he tells them, it has you in stitches. You know, it's just... and especially when Louise, his lovely wife, is there, because her face when he's telling jokes is just worth the admission money on its own.
H is for Halfpenny.
Halfpenny, the grand old man of Newark hockey. It's just... we blather on. We interview an old guy in a shower, you know, then we have Roachie on, who extols the virtues of sensible football management. And then we have Newark's very own Bill McLaren. And then we have Paul Halfpenny, and it's like sort of... He pours syrup on the end of the programme, doesn't he? It's just... I mean, he could just curl up at his feet and sort of, you know, listen to his stories about hockey all night. He's just a very, very relaxing person to sort of be around. Love him to bits.
I'll do this one. I is for involve. So far this year, Radio Newark Sport has been broadcast 170 times.
You've got a hell of a memory.
We have had 265 guests, of which 133 was the first time they've ever set foot in a radio studio. We've took 317 phone calls. We've done 17 interviews that I'd done over the weekend. We've talked 33 different sports with 64 clubs or organisations.
We've known about three of them.
We've had MP. We've had an MP. We've had five chairmen, a commodore, a professor, two presidents, three sports awards winners, a world champion, a national champion, two professional internationals, and eight amateur internationals. This is the show of the people. And I've already been pointed out off that list of people that come in, I missed off a Commonwealth champion. Sorry, Nina, that's doing it before you won the Commonwealth and not adding to it because of the sports awards. That's my excuse, but and a sports award champion as well. I'm talking to champions, a champion club, and that's not fast, of course, and that means it's Dave Fargy for the penultimate time this year, really, because next week, Dave, you're going to be joining us and giving your year's report on Not Fast. But for tonight, tell us how Not Fast have been getting on, please.
I will do, Mick. Yeah, next week, the year's report. It's going to be a good one. We've got some good and impressive stats for the year. But, yeah, to cover off the last 2 weeks, it'll be, because we didn't have a call last week.
That's right, yeah.
The previous week's results, we had a good turnout of park runs. It was Peter Middleton's 100th park run. So we had 40 club members, mostly at Newark. Personal best for Zana Perry. On the Sunday, there was two main events. First one was Skegness 10K. We had 11 members attend. I won't go into all the times because it might bore you. But personal best for Angela Brown at 54.49 in Skegness 10K. And then we're on to trail racing. We have the Edwin Stowe 10K, and we had 18 members taking part, including myself. It was a really nice course, actually, really perfect weather for it. Further afield, Leon Leong was at the Macau Half Marathon in China, and he completed in 2 hours 44. Now on to last week. Again, good turnout at the park run. We always have a good turnout at park run. 43 members over four different park runs. Personal best for Stephen White, which is impressive. He's recovering from an accident, so to get a personal best after what would only be about 12 weeks is very impressive. And then one of the final races, one of the close to final races of the year, we had five members at the Bolsover 10K on Sunday. First back for the club was Damien Davis in 37.35, followed by Angela Brown, who got a PB. Angela Brown at 56.14. Faye Patterson got the PB, 59.14. Kerry Robinson, 1 hour 3.12, and Maria Brambles, 1 hour 5.53. So So that kind of almost comes to a close the competitive racing for the year. There is an event coming up this Saturday and Sunday at the Newark Showground, actually, Mac. I don't know if you're familiar with it. It's the Christmas Challenge, the Adam Holland Christmas Challenge at the Newark Showground.
It's a return of our hero, yes.
It is, yeah. So Saturday and Sunday, from 9 o'clock each day, there's quite a few people taking part on both days. I'm taking part on the Saturday itself, which is either stupid or really good. It's my birthday on the Saturday, and I'm going to be running for 6 hours. So I don't know whether I'm an idiot or whether I'm brave.
I'll let the listeners decide that one.
I wouldn't.
I'm not brave.
But yeah, so the forecast is a very cold one. We've got, it's going to real feel about -4. So yeah, it's going to be a nice fresh 6 hour run on Saturday, running loops around the showgrounds, really. So yeah, I'll let you know how that one goes next week.
The best and the best luck. And next week, please, Dave, I want you to look back on 2018 for Knotfast.
I certainly will. I've got some stats ready.
Excellent.
I'll leave you on the edge of your seat until next week.
good stuff. Thanks, Dave.
No worries, mate.
Thank you very much.
Cheers.
Bye-bye. Dave Farger there with his Knotfast report. I'm going to do a couple more of Tony's A to Z of 2018 of Radio Newark Sport, and then we're going to have a quick look back at some of the shocks that appeared on Saturday afternoon's football. I was going to try and get these in on Monday's show, but it got a bit busy, so I never said it. So we'll get them in now. We've got to Jay. There is only one Jay, of course, isn't there? The Jaguars Wheelchair Basketball Club.
Yeah, it's just an embarrassment for all football teams who can't travel further than the extent of where the parish church steeple shadow ends. You know, these guys go to Glasgow and then hop on a ferry and go to Belfast and then come back with all the wheelchairs that they need to actually get around the place and all the sports wheelchairs that they need, and think nothing of spending a weekend just for two games of basketball. It's just absolutely phenomenal. And, you know, it's they are an inspiration to anybody who wants to take up sport and thinks, well, can't really do it, I'm not up to it anymore. I mean, these guys are in wheelchairs, come on. You know, I mean, they're just absolutely an inspiration to everybody with regard to sport.
And if two letters and two sports sort of ever went together, as sure as these two follow each other, J and K follow each other, K is for kayaking, and of course, if we talk about kayaking, we talk about the 4A's.
Yeah. Weirdest air I've ever seen. She's an absolute lovable nutter, and you can't beat them. I mean, like, sort of, I don't deal with boring people because, you know, I mean, I keep banging on about this, but I don't drink anymore, so I can't do boring people. And Julie is just lovely, isn't she? She's just absolutely nutty as a fruitcake, but with a heart the size of the town hall. You know, she's just an amazing person. And, you know, if people knock Newark a lot, but we've got so many wonderful, wonderful people, and she's right up there at the top table, isn't she?
Still to come, LMNOPQRSTUVWXY and Z. But first of all, a few shocks from the football on a very wet Saturday afternoon. And I thought these was worthy of note, to be honest, because in the Evo Stick Easterly, Cleethorpes Town won 4-2 at Leaders Morpeth. Morpeth have only been beaten once all season. Cleethorpes are right down at the bottom. They go all the way up there and win 4-2. Spalding, complete with the Wells brothers, beat Belper 2-1, both goals in the final 5 minutes of the match, and neither of them scored by a Wells. Stamford beat AFC Mansfield 2-0, which puts AFC Mansfield at the bottom of the table. Not been much longer before they're going to be playing Flowserve, I don't think. In the senior division, high-flying Scarborough lost 2-0 at home to Hyde, but Gainsborough won at Lancaster, and they are 5 points off the top of the table. And the National League leaders, Orient, lost, and so did Salford, at Chesterfield. Chesterfield's first win in 17 outings.
This is Radio Newark Sport.
I mean, how do you put that on the Paul Scoopin? You know, Chesterfield not won for 17 games, playing the mega millions of Salford, and Chesterfield win 2-0. It's a funny old game, isn't it?
I think regarding the Spalding game, Bradley Wells would have been available for Spalding because Floss have agreed to waive the seven-day rule.
They both played.
They both played?
Yeah.
I'd heard that Selston weren't prepared to waive the seven-day rule.
Something happened because those both were. Anyway, yeah. L is for London Marathon.
London Marathon. Apart from getting married and the birth of my children and the birth of my granddaughter recently, London Marathon is the greatest thing that's ever happened to me because when you cross that line, and I've been brave enough to do it twice, when you cross that line, it changes the questions you put to people as a reporter. You no longer say, so what's it like to win the FA Cup? What's it like to get to the top of those steps and sort of lift the FA Cup? You start asking questions a little bit differently because you no longer have to say, so what's it like to get to the top of Everest and plant that flag, because you know what it's like if you've done the London.
And so many people from Newark seem to do it, don't they? We make a great build-up to it, don't we, on here? And
yeah,
it's just people that... normal people. It's not even athletic club members, it's just normal people.
But the people that actually compete in it, they're not the heroes. The heroes are the people who stand at the side of the road for 5, 6, 7 hours, you know, and actually go on, mate, to people they don't even know, and they just go down there for the day just to encourage people. They're the heroes.
We now move on to the letter M. For Megan,
wonderful, wonderful person. Of the moments we've had in this studio, Megan is right up there at the very top for the way she spoke about her sport. When I took up the courage and said, I know your dad's sat in the corner, but in your sport, a 17-year-old lad died at the weekend in the ring. How do you feel about getting into a boxing ring in your sport, knowing that is a possibility? And she spoke for what seemed like about 15 minutes. Don't know how long it was, but we kept looking at each other going, don't interrupt, this is pure radio gold. And she just spoke more eloquently than anybody of any age in her chosen sport could speak, in her defence of it, portraying her love for it. And for a young lass from Hortonville, she did herself amazing credit. Lovely, lovely girl.
It's funny, isn't it, how sort of J and K followed, and we have Jaguars and kayaking. Yeah. You know, it's almost as if I've tried to script this, which I didn't, because it was what sort of come into my head, but M and N follow each other, and Megan is followed by N for Nina.
Yeah, Nina... I didn't realise when Nina came in a couple of Wednesdays ago that we'd spoken for so long about the issues of mental health. And Nina said that, you know, the only way that she could cope with her own personal anxieties and you know, depression to a certain extent, one thing and another, was through training hard at boxing. And that's what boxing gave her. And it wasn't the sort of glory in the ring. It was about, you know, boxing enables her to cope with life. And then we started speaking together, and then you pressed the button for the adverts and said, you know, if you get the chance to listen to that podcast, it is amazing. And I've actually taken the opportunity to listen to the podcast myself, and you know, was very moved listening to it, because, you know, she spoke very, very openly about an issue that affects every single person in the country.
And she's not a bad boxer.
Nah, she's not bad looking, man. She's honest. Did you see it?
You didn't recognise her, did you?
I did a double take. I'd only ever seen her in a boxing game.
Absolutely,
my goodness.
Shocking.
Absolute stunner. In and out of the ring.
We've reached the letter O. And for O, I put Owens, as in the Owens family.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's that video. Of the
twins,
and all you could hear is the dad laughing in the background as they both went face down in the water. Oh, it's just, you know, a legend. You've got Amber, who I thought would be a great loss to this program that we do together. when she went off to the States. But her twin sisters have just stepped in there and just, you know, it's been a seamless join, hasn't it? I mean, they are just, it's just a lovely family, you know, it's just tremendous. You get so many idiots in the world, and then you get, you know, some five magnificent people under the one roof. You know, incredible family. Wonderful.
And P is for primary school sport.
Well, I said this at the Sports Awards on Thursday night in front of, was it 200 people we had there? It must have been. There's people as far as you could see.
There's an awful lot more than I was told was coming.
A lot of them very, very young people. And, you know, I was always told never work with animals and kids, you know, as a journalist. And you like to have the young kids in here. And every time we have young kids in here, I go, no. Should I be washing my hair that night? And then they come in and they speak so eloquently and so knowledgeably about their chosen sport and about, you know, to a lot of extent, life in general. You know, when we had Lizzie Darnell in here, she talked about drugs in cycling. No, Darvell. And she talked about drugs in cycling. And it was a 14-year-old kid talking about something that a 24-year-old might be a bit sort of shy about. Wow. And to me, that's been the biggest eye-opener in the time we've been sat in here, is having the kids in here and just listening to them talking. You just go slack-jawed, because they're just an absolute credit to the town.
You're like Q. Q is for Quayside. And there's a Quayside, of course, at our twin town of Whitley Bay. And whereas we talk about Berwick a lot, I also take the conversation back to...
understandable.
Back up to Whitley Bay. Hmm. And the reason I'm doing that, obviously, is my grandchildren live there, and both of them are fairly regular on this show. And I'm going to use those two as an example of a lot of young kids. When one of Thomas's teammates at his rugby club, diagnosed with cancer, lost his leg, had to have his head, he lost all his hair. Everybody else, or it seems like everybody in Whitley Bay, had the head shaved. Because if Ollie had got no hair, they'd got no hair. And so many kids in Whitley Bay or in Newark are ostracised, criticised and whatever. But there's so many good kids out there, Tony, aren't they?
The reason that I enjoy it when you talk about the North East is because the people in the North East are such a genuinely wonderful race, aren't they? Just incredible people. Yeah. If you've got any problems in the North East, people gather around you straight away, and you suddenly find out, actually, you don't have any problems, you've got 50,000 friends helping you out with the problems. And that is what, moving back down to a sort of Radio Newark, we've got the same thing in Newark, and we've got people... If anybody's got a problem, if anybody's got an issue, you know, we've got countless occasions where the good people of Newark, the sporting people of Newark, will gather round and make sure that people aren't alone in their hardest times.
R can only be one thing, can't it? The renowned Radio Newark Sport.
Because we didn't actually know what it meant, did we?
Sounded good.
Rick Lane described being on the renowned Radio Newark show, and I told you, in my vast, obviously, journalistic experience, that it meant rubbish. But apparently not. And so we've used it ever since, and it always makes me smile because it always reminds me of Rick when you say it. And, you know, it's just... It's very nice of him to say it, but, you know, the only thing with Rick is that he never said a bad word about anybody, which is a unique thing in a human being. I've never experienced anybody who never said a bad word about anybody at all. So for him to say renowned, he actually didn't mean it mickey-taking. No. You know, he actually thought it was the case. And, you know, thanks, Rick.
People say to me, why? You go to work all day. Why do you do this? And I don't do it for me anymore, and you don't do it for you.
Yeah.
It's for we're just a mouthpiece for Newark Sport.
Yeah.
And you can fit any two people in here you like. We're just, it's the people out there that contribute, that let us talk about them. And okay, we treat them as heroes.
Yeah, but I mean, the way that we do it is the way that I always used to do interviews. And that is, you make them feel at ease and then just chat to them. And all of a sudden they forget there's a guy there with a notebook or a dictaphone, or they forget there's a microphone in front of them. And they just chat, you know, without the tea, because we're not allowed drinks in the studio. But just chat as if you sort of invited them in for 5 minutes into your home. And everybody who comes in here says, how am I going to talk for an hour about X, Y or Z? And then they always say, a minute to eight, when you say, I'm afraid we've got to leave it there because we're out of time. And they go, is it an hour already? Every single one, bar none, have come in and said that. And, you know, we do it very, very well because we let them talk about what they love.
You said to me on Monday, I want to talk about a subject. And I said, well, we can't tonight because we're full. And we can't tomorrow night because I'm talking rugby club girls, and that's much more important than anything else in the whole wide world. I knew full well that around about this time I'd get round to it, because S is for sports awards.
Yeah, it's a lovely, lovely time of the year, isn't it? It's I always thought that when it was held at the Palace, that was the way to do it. It's a great big night at the Palace Theatre. And somebody said to me on Thursday, I think it was better when it was at the Palace because it was a more grand occasion. And I said, but when you go to the Palace and you've got everybody from all the different sports, there's only about 2 minutes where it's relevant to you. Whereas when you actually go to the venues of the people, then it's all about them, all, you know, for the whole hour of the show, or the 90 minutes as was at the Rugby Club on Thursday. And it's just, it makes it more special where you're in their home environment, they're on home soil, so they feel a bit sort of more relaxed. They're not dolled up and on a stage. So, you know, they're chilled out, they're in their own sort of environment and can talk freely and very honestly about why their particular sport means so much to them. And the Sports Awards is a fantastic way of rewarding people who, okay, they do it because they love it, but they go over and beyond the necessary commitment to an individual sport, as witnessed last night with Mark Dobbin here, who spoke magnificently.
And finally, for this little section, T is for track. And I've got one finally.
Track, I was down there last night. And, you know, obviously not running round it, but I walked past it gently because I've got a bad knee. And I don't know, I walked past it on the way to training. With a flow surf to watch the guys in action, and the people running around the track, you know, I mean, it was a very, very cold night, but they all had looks on their faces like they couldn't really believe it, because it's under the floodlights, it looks world class. You don't have to sort of close your eyes too tightly to sort of imagine massive stands around that and television cameras and the Olympic flags flying. It is a world-class facility. And, you know, on this show, I've always said, you know, when we've got people in from the sort of sports hub and the sort of YMCA and all the rest of it, yeah, I'll believe it when I see it. But, wow, I believe it's fantastic.
I think that leaves us 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 more to go.
Yeah.
We're getting there.
Yeah.
6 to go, and we've got to the letter U. And U, of course, is for union. And that's rugby union. And that, of course, no, rugby club.
It was very, very easy when I first came down to Newark to write about Newark Rugby Club, because they were the best side in the East Midlands. The best junior side in the East Midlands, but the quality wasn't very, very far off Leicester Tigers. And they just won everything, and it was a doddle being a journalist in the town. And then we went professional, or the game went professional, and Newark didn't. And they started to slip down and down and down, and then suddenly my job became so much harder because I was having to sort of write about the fact that Newark weren't that very good anymore, But the club has always been had held a very special place in my heart. I'd not been in the town very long when I was asked to speak at their end of season dinner, and I knew that if it went well, then I would be set for life, and if I bombed, then it would be very difficult to work in the town in rugby circles. And it went remarkably well. I can't remember the end of it, but apparently I was discovered fully clothed, upside down on the bed about 4 a.m. by my wife, who had been out at an election meeting. So it went well, but I can't remember a thing about it. But I've certainly enjoyed the subsequent 33 years and very much enjoyed seeing a few old faces Thursday night.
V. V is for Vars.
Is that the one you're worried about? I might go on about it a lot.
I'm just going to sit back.
The Football Association dumped on us from a mighty height. It means that we can't play in the FA Cup next season. And it's their loss, you know. They said we had to have floodlights in time for the first game, and the floodlights were switched on the night before the first game. So maybe it's our fault for delaying putting them up for so long, but they were in place for a competition that kicks off at 3 o'clock in September, at the start of September. What is wrong with the light by about 8 o'clock at night on the 1st of September? So the Football Association have let us down, but they've let themselves down very, very badly.
And that was better than I expected.
Yeah, because if I go on too long, it'll be after the 9 o'clock threshold, and I'll be able to tell you exactly what I think of the FA.
Very, very profound mood tonight. That takes us to W. And W is only one thing, of course. W for Wildman.
Love him to bits, always have done. Rob was a young reporter when I first joined the Advertiser, and young reporters always get given wedding reports. And Rob wrote a wedding report where the honeymoon took place on the island of Gibraltar. And anybody who can write stuff like that, I just love immediately. I was rubbish at geography. And so, you know, you always get a comment next to your sort of subject when you get your report. And my geography teacher put, regarding Smith's ability in geography this term, it's a constant amazement to me he finds his way to school. So anybody who writes about the Isle of Gibraltar is my mate straight away. And then we went to a party at Rob's house that he shared with Rob Walker, who was back for the reunion of the Cup Final team a couple of weeks ago, that ended with some dodgy songs at the Royal Oak, apparently. But, you know, and walked into the kitchen, and Rob was stood there, for some reason, putting peanuts down his underpants. So I've just always loved him. He's just a magnificent character. But now, I call him, you know, the Bill McLaren of Newark Rugby, because he talks with such knowledge, such authority, and such humour about the game that he loves, and you know, it's the highlight of my week when Rob's on, because he's just I just find him a tremendous character and a dear friend for many, many years.
X.
Aha. The thing about the xylophone, you see, what
no. X is for Xenopus.
What?
Xenopus is a clawed frog that lives in South Africa.
Yeah?
It's pronounced Xenopus, but it's spelt X-E-N. And I put that because on more than one occasion, we do talk some dribble, don't we?
Well, I know as much about Xenopus as I do about Tony Adams becoming the president of the Rugby League. So I couldn't really comment. I can't understand Tony Adams being president of the Rugby League. Why did he ever leave Crossroads?
You got the wrong Adams, but you're on the right. You're on the right lines. You're on the right lines. Is Meg still there? Two to go, and two very important ones to go. Why? For the YMCA. And what's happening next to the sports centre?
Well, it's only
your dream, your fantasy.
It's only 3 or 4 years ago that I used to spend every Saturday afternoon clearing dog muck, filling in holes that the rabbits had dug on the pitch that is now covered by the YMCA efforts, and it is just a miracle. You know, I mean, Newark, they've never had facilities like they've got now, and now there's not many towns in the country that have got the facilities that Newark can boast, and the YMCA deserve amazing credit. It's almost like, as I said on Thursday night at the rugby club, it's almost like someone's gone in there with a magic wand and gone, bing, there you go. And it is, wow, and all of a sudden it's there. And I arrived in this town 30 years too early, because it would be lovely to set off on a reporting career knowing what's going to be happening at that sports hub. I mean, think of the athletics meetings. I hope it draws massive crowds. It'd be wonderful. You know.
Which brings us to Z. And again, not the easiest of letters to find something that we've talked about, but I think I've got something for you. Z is for Ziggy. The Newark Half Marathon, wearing Rick Lane's number, and the whole story of that day.
Ziggy couldn't actually speak to me on Thursday night when we unveiled Rick's name on the Sports Awards. And for Ziggy not to be able to speak, if you know Ziggy at all, that is an incredible achievement. So he must have been very, very moved and very, very touched. And I know he was proud as punch to wear the number one. And I know that he's going to be wearing the number one in next year's Newark Half Marathon as well. And, you know, it's... I'm going to be down there just so that I can hug him and we can cry together at the finish line. Because, you know, what a wonderful, wonderful guy. Not much of him, but a heart of blooming gold.
So there you have the A to Z of Radio Newark Sport in the eyes of Mr. Smith for 2018. Favourite moment, Tony? It's a big ask, I suppose, but...
Favourite moment, Richard Lane's face when we unveiled Rick on the Roll of Honour. Because, for a moment, for everybody. Y'all go.
Thanks, pal. We've got no idea what's going to happen in 2019 in Radio Newark Sport.
No
idea at all. We would hope that FlowServe go on and win the league and play Step 5 football next season. We would hope that Newark Rugby Club climb that table. We would hope that Newark Town Football Club finally find a winning formula. And we would love, as Tony's already said, to see the first meet for Newark Athletic Club. And apart from that, Nina's boxing in Belgium in February. Regis is now a professional boxer following Chad.
When he's
and now youngsters, well, these, this is what the people that we still call youngsters, like Megan, because she's only a kid, let's be honest, who seems to have been here forever and a day talking to us, and Amelia and Joseph. But how are they going to progress?
But when you think what Newark has achieved on a sporting level, despite having no facilities, it is quite incredible. And if you think about the facilities that we now have in place, then God knows what's going to happen. We're going to be talking about Olympians. We're going to be talking about genuine superstars. And, you know, we're going to struggle to get them into little old Radio Newark, aren't we, when they're that big?
Yeah, and they won't want to know us, will they?
I just hope they don't forget where they all started out, especially when it comes to Olympic tickets in places like Sydney and the like.
Because me and you are still going to be bobbing around the bottom, aren't we? Because I've made you work so hard tonight, and we've got a couple of minutes before we end, and I know how you love your Step 6 football stats, because that's obviously where FlowServe are on now, and they do get a mention every now and again, so do the East Midlands Counties League. The highest crowd at Step 6 level last Saturday was at Harwich Town. They got 350. The second highest was Billingham, up at Middlesbrough, with 218.
Oh.
So you see, the first wave crowds are not that bad, are they?
No.
Three teams in Step 6 football remain unbeaten. If I tell you who they are, you can tell me where they're from. Harfield United, who play in the Middlesex League, because you're looking totally confused.
No, no.
Stoneham, who play in the Southampton League, are both undefeated on 17 games. And Billingham Town are the best Step 6 team in the country. Because they've been beaten in 19 games. There's two sides without a win in the whole of Step 6 football. One is Sticker AFC from the South West Peninsula League, and the other
is Arnold Town.
Yeah. Would you believe it?
Who would have thought?
All those years we looked up to Arnold Town, and they're going as quick that way as Flowserve are going the other.
Start of the season, first game of the season for Flowserve, Arnold Town at home. And I took three programmes into the Arnold Town dressing room and saw the Arnold Town badge on the shirts that were laid out. And I thought, wow, we're in the big time. And it ten past three,
the game was all over.
It breaks my heart to see Arnold Town in their current predicament, because they've got such a proud history and so many great former players. But I'll never forget that moment in the dressing room on the first day of the season, going, wow, we're playing these now.
Most goals scored in Step 6 football, and the breaking news is that Flowserve have dropped down the league.
Oh, no.
89, Plymouth Argyle Reserves. 82, Longreach Town. 80, Tiverton Town. 77, Newark Flowserve. See, they had a Saturday off, didn't they?
If we could shoot straight at Eastwood, we'd have been back up there, don't worry.
Most goals conceded in the whole of Step 6 football in England.
No.
Borough Wash.
Really?
Yeah. 113.
Yeah.
Already, it's not even Christmas. I think I'd give up, lads, if I were you.
Well, did you see the results at Gedling Miners Welfare, where we're going on Saturday last night?
Is that a last-minute winner as well?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got a tough game on Saturday.
Gedling have put together some good results.
You're hitting them at the wrong time.
There is no way that Kirky and Roche will allow Flowserve to go there overconfident.
Don't be complacent.
But
anyway, we're about yeah. Tony, thank you for that. You've never worked so hard in an hour.
No, I'd absolutely loved it. Thank you.
Yeah, did not have a clue what the subject was tonight.
Actually, xylophones I had read up on, you just let me down.
You got it wrong, didn't you? So from the wonderful Tony Smith to the very wonderful, the legend, the one and only, the man that knows everything about music. And let's be honest, me and you should be on Radio Newark. He should be on something a lot more. You've got Doug Aldick.